shit.
Make it hurt.
That's why you were thinking about it?
Well, yeah, because I'm a fan.
Oh, okay.
So you like the vitamin D?
It was okay. I see what you did there.
Get a chance to check out the article about the tenderation of the NBA?
Tenderation? No, I just saw the headline about it.
Hey, right. What?
So having like a positive effect?
Of what?
Tinder?
Oh, yeah. The NBA?
Like players in the NBA.
They do?
Yeah. So
I didn't even know that.
Let's say they go into a certain city, they'll, on the plane, you know, getting dates through like Tinder, and they'll have the women in the hotel waiting with the car keys and everything. Doop, swipe, swipe. Well, I don't know if they're paying, so.
Regular women do this. They
ain't
giving them nothing. Don't even buy a meal.
Yeah.
You know, all they know is their screen name. So of course, if you see some type of basketball player or whatever, someone famous, you know what I'm saying?
We have a Twitter page, What the Duke Pod.
Can you put me on there?
What? I put you on where?
The Twitter thing. Even though I don't check Twitter, I want my Twitter on there.
What are you talking about?
Didn't
you want us to put it on?
That's not what I'm talking about.
Oh. We can put you on.
I'm talking about the show itself has a Twitter page.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of What the Duke. I am your host. I am James Duke. It's a very interesting episode we got going here for a couple of reasons. First and foremost, obviously, we had the unfortunate passing of nine individuals, including Kobe Bryant and his daughter. And that shocked many of us, me personally, being the big sports fan that I am. Definitely had a huge effect. You watched his whole career, and being an MJ fan, Jordan fan growing up, and seeing how he sort of emulated Michael, like there was always a level of appreciation for his game, even though, you know, I wasn't necessarily a fan of Kobe Bryant in that regard. However, you know, I did watch his entire career. And to him, die at such an early age in such an accident like that, someone at the magnitude of him, in my lifetime, I can't remember anything like this happening. When stuff like this happens, you know, people kind of reflect on, you know, their own mortality, I should say. And, of course, you know, I did as well. And a couple of things that kind of came to me that stuck out. And of course it is, you know, make sure that people that you love, care about, that are in your life, that matter to you, that you make sure you reach out and you're constantly letting them know, showing them that you love them and showing appreciation for those that you have in your life and appreciation to the life that you do have. And Mamba mentality, which is, you know, Kobe Bryant's, you know, legacy, so to speak, at this point, is kind of pushing forward, you know, and going after whatever you want to go after, your goals, your dreams, whatever it is, and don't stop till you get it. So that's really kind of like what, you know, is always going to stick out to me and what hit me the hardest and made sure that, you know, again, you know, you take every day for the blessing that it is, and every day you should strive for the things that you want, and make sure, you know, you take care of the people that you care about, and you take care of them because they take care of you. So if I haven't spoken to you in a while, if I haven't gotten to you yet, whether that's Lynx, Dream Team, 482-509, and anyone else, you know, just know that you're in my thoughts. I love you. And let's keep going. With that, this episode is also very interesting and special to me because for those of you who recognize the voice, yes, that guy, that little man, my best friend, has a father who was my best friend before the little guy was my best friend, my GB, and my brother. And so we kind of just kick it, talk about some things. We reflect on the life, the legacy of Kobe Bryant. We talk about some, we share some stories about, you know, us growing up, some talk about some things like that. And we also talk about, you know, an icon, you know, a legend in our own respect, our legend, Eli Manning, and the Giants and the future of the Giants. So it's a really cool episode. So I hope you guys enjoy it. And if you guys do, make sure you like it, make a comment, you share with everybody, subscribe. Don't forget to do that. And thank you again for listening, and enjoy the episode featuring Pops.
Yeah, this album is dedicated to all the teachers that told me I never amount to nothing. To all the people that lived above the buildings that I was hustling from, that called the police on me when I was just trying to make some money to feed my daughter. And all the struggle, you know what I'm saying? It's all good, baby, baby. It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Salt and pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine. Hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, Rap Attack, Mr. Magic, Molly Mall. I let my tape rock till my tape pop. Slipping on private stock way back when I had the red and black lumberjack with the hat to match. Remember rapping Duke? The ha, you never thought that hip hop would take it this far. Now I'm in the limelight cause I rhyme tight. Time to get paid, blow up like the World Trade. Born sinner, the opposite of a winner. Remember when I used to eat sardines for dinner? Piece to Raw G, Brucey B, Kid Capri. Funk, Master Flex, Love Bug, Star Ski. I'm blowing up like you thought I would. Call a crib, same number, same hood. It's all good. And if you don't know, now you know.
All right, welcome back to another episode of What the Duke. I'm here with, you know, Pops. Introduce yourself a little bit.
I'm not going to do that. I'm just Joseph's best friend, and I'm here to be funny with him on this podcast. That's all.
That is all. This wasn't really meant to be this, but of course, the world's been kind of shook a little bit with the passing of Kobe Bryant and his daughter, and seven other individuals that were with him on this plane, including other parents and kids. And it's kind of crazy, to say the least. I can't remember anything. Forget sports for a second. Just in the history of my life where something like this has happened with someone so big. Can you think of anything like that that's happened to? Like, it's complete shock. I think this is like the biggest thing.
Kobe Bryant is a very, very famous human being, so it would have to be someone up there. Like, he was famous, people's wanted to see him. Like, I can't remember this. No. I was listening to it, and they were talking about how this is, out of all the active Hall of Famers, there's only two of them that are passed from the NBA, Moses Malone and Wilt Chamberlain. So even, like, just even if you just talk about basketball, like, even a lot of them are still alive. So, I mean, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar as well, almost 80 years old.
Most of these greats are actually still living, so for him to have died at such a young age,
yeah,
it's unfortunate, sad, and I mean, for the most, I think for most of us, at least for me, it just kind of makes you question your own mortality and of those of you and, you know, the people you love most.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it should definitely do that. Anytime you see somebody die, it should definitely make you realize how lucky you are every second of every day, because anything could go wrong. Anything at any time could go left. Right. That'd be the end of that.
Yeah, that's that. And I don't want to talk too much about that. I know a lot of us have heavy hearts. But growing up as sports fans, so just the sports fan, like, is there any like moment of Kobe's that you can stick to that you remember, or like watching Kobe Bryant play basketball?
That crossover on Pippen to Shaq. That's super yes. memorable. That's super memorable, because I was just like, that was a slow ass crossover. I thought Pippen was a great defender. And Pippen just went all the way to the right. So yeah. that play is always going to be memorable to me, Kobe-wise.
Yeah, I mean, as a Michael Jordan fan, for me, it was that moment, I think he was a rookie, actually, where you just see both of them kind of just leaned over on their shorts just talking.
During the All-Star game?
Right. Yeah, the All-Star game conversation. Like, that image, like, is the one that always stuck out. Because, again, I was a Jordan fan, still a Bulls fan somewhat, because of Michael Jordan. But, yeah, it's, like, that moment where it was, like, Jordan was almost willingly passing the torch to this guy for whatever reason. Like, he saw, I guess, that in Kobe even at that age. So you never really saw that from Jordan. You always saw, like, the competitor. In this case, you can see that he was willingly, like, he knew Kobe was the next one.
Yeah, he said, I saw it in his eyes. There was a fire in his eyes.
I guess that's that what has become to be known as that Mamba mentality.
Yeah. Yeah, I think when you are a certain, I mean, it's not just athletics also. It's just athletics is the most visible one. But I imagine, like, the two best scientists in the world or the two best archaeologists, you know, once they see each other, it's just like, oh, there's a kinship there, because you know how hard it is to get to where the hell you're at.
Right.
You know that this person then did the exact same thing as you and made it pretty far, just as far as you did. I imagine that those people are always connected, not just great athletes, but people out there.
If you're a business person or anything, you kind of maybe just understand. Because you understand.
Yeah.
Understanding of what it takes to get there.
Yeah. I mean, and to me, it just takes a certain type of human being to get there. Forget, like, you know, you have to be born a particular way to even have the desire to do it, let alone, like, have the physical ability to do it. Like, that's the mentality of what he had.
And you right, know, exactly.
Just, like, those are the same type of people, right? Those are just the same type of human beings.
Yeah, I mean, you see it all the time. We've seen talent come through our sports where the talent didn't match that person ended up being for whatever reason, because again, they don't have the work ethic that Kobe Bryant or even a Michael Jordan or even LeBron James. Like, you see all these greats, and the one thing you probably could attribute to them is that they're gonna have an incredible work ethic. And as much as I love sports and as much as I want to, that work ethic is insane for these super athletes. Serena Williams, any of them, any or anything, you see what these people do to be great, and you're like, yeah, that goes beyond the physical talents that they have. Yeah, I mean, like, they have a mentality that's just different.
Ask anybody who wants to be a doctor, how hard it is to be a doctor. Everyone around you has to sacrifice. It's not just you. Unless you're literally by yourself, and you're like, I'm gonna be a doctor, and you know you don't have parents who are involved.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a social life, if you have friends, if you have, you know, a strong-knit, close-knit family. If you want to be a doctor, everyone's sacrificing around you. Everyone's giving up time with you. Everyone's giving up something in order to make that dream come true.
Yeah. I haven't really thought about it that way, but it is true, especially in that profession. But yeah, family and friends. Yeah, if you're family and friends, wife, husbands, yeah, you were definitely going to suffer those trials and tribulations that you will go to be a doctor, to be anything of such importance in this world. Politics. Yeah, if you're making a career out of politics, you know each and every person around you is going through that politics, is going through that journey with you.
Yeah, so I have to sacrifice.
So definitely interesting. Just going forward. So again, you are my best friend. So I was thinking about two weeks ago, I forgot what it was or why I was thinking about it. Oh, you know what it was? I was listening to, we have friends that also have a podcast, Mike and Alex So I was listening to one of their podcasts. I forgot what they were talking about. They were talking about rap and hip hop. They were like ranking albums and stuff like that. So, you know, it was an interesting listen. So it just got me thinking about, you know, our childhood and us growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And the battle, the like how I was like, man, how did me and Pops become like really good friends?
Mm-hmm.
And it just made me remind me almost how angry I was for watching you just play basketball. Like that was the thing. It was playing basketball. For those who don't know, the way I met Pops was we used to play basketball at a gym after some after school like community, get the kids out of the street, kind of call out speed, you know, to get, you know, people on the street do stuff. We went for the basketball first and foremost. We did the other stuff, but it was mainly so we could have a place to play basketball in a gym. And then this kid comes along who didn't play with us. And the entire game,
Jackie's cousin,
because yeah, Jackie was a friend of ours. Just his cousin, doesn't look anything like Jackie, so I don't even know the cousin. She's, you know, darker than me. I mean, she's Dominican, but she's darker than me.
Yeah,
pale kid that looks nothing like her. Doesn't even look Spanish. I don't even believe you're Spanish until you speak the language, until you actually speak Spanish. I'm like, okay, I guess he is Dominican.
I was actually thinking about this day a couple weeks ago also, and I was like, yo, they left me open for like 6 straight shots. How disrespectful is that?
Yeah, and what makes me so angry about it, because not only did I was obviously on the other team, and I wasn't the one guarding, because I would have known after the second shot, at least to come to play a little bit better defense. They just kept letting you shoot, and you were just making them. Not even just making them. It was nothing but net. You're draining shots, and I'm like, are we going to guard this?
I remember you screaming, is someone going to guard him? just like, screamed it at everybody else.
It was just funny. Like, what are we doing here? But it was like, after that, I'm like, you know what? If no one's going to guard him, I'm just going to play with him. And since then, we were gut brothers. But I like that strategy. I was telling my brother about that strategy. Well, not really. Then it wasn't really a strategy for you. But when we played people, like, it was good when people underestimated me based just on how I looked.
Yeah, I would be like, put your shirt up right now, let them see your shirt, let them see you without a shirt, let them think you're not gonna do anything, and they go, and then 4 points later they're like, oh shit, it's 4-0, the fat one just hit 2 shots, what are we gonna do? And y'all down 4-0 because y'all saw him without his shirt on.
You have to rearrange your whole what you were thinking, because you realize the kid over there that looks like he doesn't, like he's just doing this for fun, actually is good at this. But yeah, so that got me thinking about a lot of stuff, and we've gone through some things. So just tell again people that don't know, like, what was it like for you, at least growing up in the Bronx? Well, you grew up in several places, but
yeah,
tell us a little bit about that, like where you grew up.
I always try to like break it down year wise, but the older I get, the more like there's like, oh, these were your formative years, and these were the, yeah, so I don't know those words to describe. I just know ages,
right?
Or actually like grades. So from like first grade, Jesus Christ, from first grade to third grade, I was in Queens. And then in third grade, my mom decided to move to Rhode Island. And then we moved to Rhode Island. And then she decided to go back to Queens, same house. Somehow went back to the exact same house for fourth grade. And then fourth grade, I finished it in Queens. And then fifth grade, I went up to Beacon, New York. And I was there from fifth to seventh grade. And then in seventh grade, I moved again to another part of Queens. Didn't work out. I went back to Beacon. And I stayed there for part of seventh grade. And then I moved down to Castle Hill, part of the Bronx, for seventh and eighth grade. Then for ninth grade, I went back to Beacon.
I think this is the part where I caught along a little bit from what I remember.
From ninth to about 10th? I don't really remember at this point. From ninth to like the beginning, maybe the middle of 10th grade. And then I went to Kennedy, and that was the almost 11th grade. And that's where I met you guys. And then the rest, so like from 1999 to 2000 and whatever, I lived in the Bronx in that same apartment. That was the longest stretch. So,
All right. And again, so that's the stretch in which we kind of, you know, like you said, we met us and we started hanging out, became what became. And yeah, we lived in an age of hip hop. I think the best music of hip hop.
Yo, how did we make it this far listening to that music?
What do you mean?
Like, have you listened to it recently? I don't know if you wanted to talk about it, but man.
No, I mean,
violent.
Yeah. So that's funny, right? So there's violence everywhere. You limit what you watch, what you listen to, and it's
what you consume.
Yeah, you kind of, you know, control what you consume a little bit, try to keep a little bit more positivity in my mind, things like that. So yeah, if I hear, like, I can't imagine being a DMX fan now.
I'd punch my son in the face if he played DMX right now. I'd be like, what are you doing?
and that made me think. I actually thought about that today because the XFL using X Gonna Give It To You, like, as you know, as one of their, like, I guess they're gonna use that music for the XFL this year. And it's like, yeah, man, there's no way it'd be if I just grew up in Florida, if people listen to hip hop in Florida, but it's very different. You know, when you grow up where you grow up, it's kind of like it just becomes a part of it, though.
And then I also think about it as when I hear people that don't like rap. I just realized that those people haven't surrounded themselves with it. Because I joke, I mean, I just joke, oh, it's so violent. But it's also metaphorical. It's not supposed to be literal. Every murder in rap isn't an actual killing of another person. And and you're only going to get that if you surround yourself with it and you're around it all the time. So, like, now I listen to it and I'm just like, oh, that was just a slick way to say I killed the guy. I didn't really kill that guy, but that was just a slick way of putting it. And it's just like saying any sentence, anything that people talk about. If you had a bunch of songs about, you know, making pasta, eventually someone's going to say it in a clever way. You're going to, oh, that was a clever way to put that he made pasta tonight. But you only know that if you regularly make pasta and you know, and you're around that.
So
you really shouldn't be like, it's not really murder and kill all the time. There's lots of rap songs that are great. Just songs.
Yeah, I mean, even artists that we like, I mean, I use the DMX example, but depending, I mean, you're a Biggie fan. Biggie made music that wasn't all about, you know, guns and, you know, killing and stuff like that.
Yeah, all Jadakiss talks about is drugs and guns.
Yeah, that is the disappointing part. When you have artists that, especially, like, we were both Jadakiss fans, they didn't seem to expand what they talk about. All they talk about, it'd probably be even harder to be fans of them now because, like, you're not even expanding what you're talking about. You're literally just talking about the hood and drugs and guns, and not to say that's not a part of it. I appreciate all art, because that's what music is, and rap is just that. Again, it's just the art of your, where you come from, where you were raised.
Yeah,
that's why sometimes trap music and some of the other, like, whatever hip hop is becoming, we tend to not like, because we're like, it doesn't have the essence of hip hop that some of these guys were speaking from.
What is trap? What is this? What is that trap? What is that? I don't even know what that is.
I mean, I don't know if there's a way. I mean, you're talking to the wrong guy. I don't know if I can describe what trap music, but it's just, to me, it's its own genre. I don't know if it'll go there, but it's an evolution of hip hop. No. But it's like, it's singing. It's a little bit of singing, a little bit of rap, but you can't understand a word they say.
So it's not about a particular subject matter. So it's not like, oh, gangster rap is usually about gangster stuff.
It's trap. Maybe.
I don't know what they're talking about.
And I also can't understand what they're saying. So if you listen to artists, it's hard to understand, to even dissect the language that they're speaking. It's very difficult if you listen to a trap song. Even like huge artists like Future, I mean, you could kind of get what they're saying, but I don't know if he has. I don't think it's similar to, like, yeah, gangster rap or something like that has like a specific. Because I think in within trap they talk about everything, you know.
Okay, sure.
I think so. Like, I mean, we need Megahertz Sergio on here. He can probably talk about that.
Oh God, he listens to. I don't even know how he has time to think of other things. I don't even understand how he has time to think of other stuff. He listens to rap all the time. It's amazing.
It's amazing what you have time for if you really like focus on it. Like you can really just make time and just like some of it. But man, like me too. But sometimes like man, I want to listen to more podcasts.
Yeah,
I can't seem to find the time. But yeah. There are people out there that may be just as busy as me, but listen to like 5 podcasts a day somehow.
Yeah,
like they just do it because they somehow were able to prioritize that. That's going off beat. But yeah, that is it is interesting. But yeah, like going, is there anything, have you heard anything recently, like from, like, or do you just listen, are you listening to new music, or do you?
I don't listen to new music at all.
Are you just like giving up on it?
I literally still listen to, I can't get it, Nas's first album. I'm still listening to that, trying to figure it out.
I actually do want to listen to Nas's first album. Like I was saying, they were doing best rap album. I think it was like 93 or 94. Mm-hmm. And that is the year I think Nas's album came out. One of those, I think it was 93.
Yeah. Like I'm still at the point where I'm like, oh, I have to get into Wu-Tang, right? Like I didn't even get into Wu-Tang. Like I just started to GZA, the rapper, right? Him.
Yeah.
He's like super intelligent. Like, I didn't even realize he was part of the, like, I would watch him in, like, interviews talking about stuff. And, like, I guess I would catch it, like, maybe, like, 45 seconds into the interview where they passed the introduction. And he's just talking about, like, food and, you know, the government. And he's just talking about intelligent stuff. And I just, oh, man, this guy's cool. And then eventually I was like, wait, he's the rapper from the Wu-Tang Clan? Like, what? That's who this guy is? Like, he's super intelligent. Like, I can't believe this is what this man has grown into. So now I gotta go backwards and I gotta like start with the Wu-Tang Clan. Like I can't even, what I look like listening to somebody else now and I haven't heard Enter the 36 or whatever the hell the name of their first album is.
I think you were right. Enter the 36 Chambers.
Yeah, and there's like 9 of them. So there's like 9, there's like 30 albums I have to listen to before I can even feel comfortable going like, oh, okay, let me pick up this album that came out last year.
That is a good album. My brother was a fan of Wu-Tang. In many ways, my brother kind of helped me get into hip-hop because he was a little bit older, so he was listening to that stuff a little bit before me. Yeah. So I was I kind of caught on as he listened to it.
Yeah.
But Wu-Tang was one of the things he was a fan of. So I heard that album. I was a Method. I did like Method Man. I wasn't like all of them, but I think that style it's just amazing when you think back to that creativity of like 9 dudes just kind of like freestyling some of their songs, just all just spitting. That's pretty original. Like that, you don't see stuff like that. That's probably, again, the essence of hip hop, just kind of ciphering, you know? And they were just doing it as an album and songs.
RZA's plan. Like RZA had a plan for all of them. Like that's what they've been able to maintain for so long. Because he saw a plan that long ago. He's like, this is how we're going to do it. And that's how they did it. I love listening to those, like, there's so many rappers I do whose music I can't stand, but I hear them talking. I'm like, God, man, you really like personality yourself into a hole where I couldn't stand you in your 20s. And now I listen, I'm like, you're just a good person. Why you did that?
Like,
that's really the personality you thought you had to make to be fucking famous. Like, that sucks.
Yeah,
I'm listening to Irv Gotti. You listened to an Irv Gotti interview recently?
No, I have not.
He's hilarious.
Oh, but you know what? When I haven't said heard nothing recently, but anytime I do hear anything with Irv Gotti like speaking, yeah, he is pretty funny.
He's hilarious. Jim Jones.
Jim Jones, yeah, Jim Jones is
great. Anytime you interview, I'm like, I gotta watch this. This guy's gonna say something great. Yeah, and his music though. I'm gonna listen to the Diplomats.
Oh yeah, I'm definitely not going back to listen. I mean, you can retroactively go back to that. I'll watch Jim Jones on anything, but I'm not listening to that music.
Cameron, I just saw an interview with him, and I was just like, oh, now I understand why he was saying what he was saying about Jay-Z and Nas. Like, that makes perfect sense. I totally understand why a grown man would be like, well, I'm just not going to let this grown man talk to me like that just because he's Nas. And I was like, that's true. That's true. you shouldn't.
Are you watching those shows like Hip Hop Evolution?
Yes, on Netflix. Hip Hop Evolution.
But yeah, you watch them and you kind of just run through them, but then you forget about it.
They're so like, easy to just run through. I ran through it in the amount of time it would take to run through it.
like no extra no time.
Like I like if it took 3 hours and 15 minutes and 47 seconds to get through, that's how long it took to get through all four of the episodes this season.
Wow. I haven't even started it yet. But
he does such a good job.
Yeah. They're definitely entertaining. They're definitely enlightening and gives you insights you didn't know.
Have you seen Netflix? I mean, I don't know you've seen Netflix, but Netflix has done a really good job of like old school hip hop documentaries. And they had this Stretch Armstrong and Bobbito documentary like 3 years ago. And they didn't world premiere, but they put out like an unreleased Big Pun verse because he got on that show and dropped the verse. I mean, the amount of people that were on that show before they were big, like the only rapper that they couldn't name that was on that show was Tupac. That was it. They had every other rapper from New York that was big, that was going to make it big time on that show at some point, spitting. Like, it was ridiculous, the amount of talent that they saw before they saw it.
I would have to see the name, to be honest with you.
It's too crazy.
Another part of our growing up came with me throwing remotes at television, watching Giants games.
Mm-hmm.
And that also happened very recently. What do you think? We lost an icon to us, right? Mm-hmm. For us, Eli Manning was no Kobe Bryant, but he was an icon to us.
Yes.
Because we're Giants fans, and we were crazy Giants fans.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of what are your thoughts on the retirement of Eli Manning?
When he said it, I was like, oh, that's going to suck. And then when I saw, like, when I started to replay all the years in my head, I was like, holy shit, he's been with me. I mean, he was drafted in March or April of 2004, right?
Yeah.
When's I don't know the date.
2004 is. Sounds
yeah, familiar. I know it's 2004, but I don't know the month. Marie and I started dating in June of 2004. So he's been my quarterback longer than Marie has been my partner. So that's how far Eli Manning, you know, went back. And I was like, man, I started thinking about all those plays. And I was just like, he really was what I thought he was. Like, well, the last couple of years, I mean, you know, even in my head as a big Giant fan, I was just like, man, was this guy really as good as I thought he was? No, he was that good. He was that good. He was definitely that, like, he really made a lot of players a lot better than they would have been. And you could see that by the fact that they went nowhere after they left the Giants, or they were really nothing before they got to the Giants. Like, he won, yeah, he won two Super Bowls, but he won two Super Bowls with a completely different offenses.
Yep, two totally different offenses.
I think the same player was Snead. Like, it was Chris Snead was the only combination, was the only the same one as the previous one.
So that was Tom Coughlin's, was that him?
Yeah,
Tom Coughlin's
son-in-law. The receivers, the ends, the running backs, everybody was different. So yeah. I was like, that's not easy. Don't tell me that's easy. That don't tell me that was a fluke. The that memo that the Dallas Cowboys fans sent out about, oh, there was a lucky catch, really, like, you didn't win two games with one catch.
With one catch.
Like, Dallas Cowboy fans, he wanted, man, but he had to go through 8 games. Y'all make it seem like he was 8 lucky catches.
Exactly. They had to win about 4 games twice. And again, in terms of throws, in terms of plays, that Davy Tyree, the lucky play, in terms of plays, yes, that Davy Tyree was one of the most craziest things we'll see.
I've never heard a Giant fan now refer to it as lucky.
Well, yeah, because look at it. I mean,
he's going to David Tyree.
And he was almost sacked by like 200-300-pound men.
Rodney Harrison is a first ballot Hall of Fame safety. Okay, David Tyree isn't even going to make the Hall of Fame of the high school he went to. And he somehow came down with that ball. All right, it's a lucky play. We all knew it was a lucky play. If you look at that play, Christie is literally not blocking anyone. He looks like he's glitched because he's just standing there and there's 4 Patriots around him. And he's just like, look, move somewhere. Hit something, Christie, please.
That scored 0 points. 0 points that play scored.
Yeah, zero points. Zero. I didn't even put us in position to score points. Like, I think we kicked the field goal, but we were down 4. Like, it didn't put us in position to then move the ball forward again.
Yeah, well, it wasn't even a first and goal after that.
Yeah, we still had to get people look at that offense and think somehow that offense was amazing. I'm pretty sure that defense had more Hall of Famers than the offense. And they had Bill Belichick. So, The Get Down. That's the name of the show on Netflix.
Oh, yes.
The Get Down. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Very good show. Now I know what you're talking
about. Yes. Sorry.
But yeah. Going back. What are you talking about, Bill? I mean, Bill Belichick, Tom Brady and Randy Moss are on that team.
Oh. Yeah, but that's 2. They had 2 Hall of Famers, right? Okay, great. Vincent Wilfork is a Hall of Famer, right? There was another lineman, what's his name, that got traded a couple years ago for 2 first-round picks to Oakland.
On the first team?
On the Patriots, yeah.
On the I don't know. Sure, I know Junior. Sherman. Junior Seau was on that team.
Junior Seau was a linebacker, yeah. Vincent Wilfork was a defensive lineman. He's going to the Hall. The defensive lineman, I forget his name. I think it was Shermer, but he was a hell of a player. That year, they picked up Adavius Thomas, who was the best pass rushing linebacker in free agency. And they had Harrison, who's a Hall of Famer. And Asante Samuel was a Pro Bowler on that team.
Yes, he was.
That defense was stacked. It was
Asante Samuel, just the one who got beat, right? By Plaxico?
No, it was Hobbs.
Oh, that was Hobbs. Oh, man, he's a decent player, too.
Samuels is the one that dropped the interception.
Ah, yeah. Oh, yeah, that could have ended it all.
This could be a completely different conversation. But, yeah, Samuels, that's Samuel. But that whole the whole damn defense was stacked. The entire defense was stacked. So what I was thinking was, I don't care if he's a Hall of Famer. I really don't. That's his accomplishment. But you can't tell me that any team in the NFL wouldn't take what he did for that team.
Exactly. That is the underlying.
What do you mean?
I've been making 4 to 5 years while we've watched Eli's decline. That's always the argument I make, that these teams with other quarterbacks would love what Eli Manning did.
Yeah.
Drew Brees. They don't know what Drew Brees' future is right now.
Yeah. Drew Brees, guess who doesn't have a quarterback right now? The Los Angeles Chargers.
Exactly, because now Phillip Rivers, who came in, who everyone claims is better than Eli, well, by the way, he didn't get his team. He weren't able to get his team any Super Bowls.
You know who beat Phillip Rivers? The New England Patriots beat Phillip Rivers. Okay, that's who eliminated.
Did they that year? Probably.
It was New England Patriots.
They ran through a lot of teams.
So yeah. I don't want to hear. I don't care if he's a Hall of Famer. That's not the. As a New York Giants fan, he was the first pick. He said, "I want to go to the Giants. I need to go to the Giants." He came to the Giants and he won 2 Super Bowls against the New England Patriots. Like, that's also one thing I don't think people outside of New York understand. We hate that area. Like, it'd have been one thing if he'd have beat the Kansas City Chiefs and the Miami Dolphins and won 2 Super Bowls. They'd have been like, "Oh, that's fantastic. He still has 2 Super Bowls." but he beat the area of the country we hate the most. Our biggest
the sports fans,
sports rivals, he beat them twice. Any Yankee fan should love Eli Manning because you could just fake being a Giant fan. Oh, you guys were 3-0 on us. Yeah, well, you guys were 18-0. How's that taste? And that's the end of it.
I've never thought about that. I never looked at that way. But now I know. If anyone tried, a Red Sox fan tried to throw 3-0 in my face, I'm hitting them with that. 18-1.
18-1. Yeah, 18-1. Sorry, guys.
Sorry. 18-1.
That's the other part that I don't think people like. We love him because he beat New England. He beat the Boston Patriots. That's who he beat. He beat as a Yankee fan. Thank you, Eli Manning. Forget the Giant aspect. As a Yankee fan, thank you, Eli Manning. I can now say that.
If you don't know New Yorkers, you weren't really a Giants fan, but you like sports, or don't even like sports that much, you probably still were happy that we beat the Patriots because you understand the fact that we don't like that area. You don't have to be a sports fan to know that. Tell me, you do not need to be a sports fan to know that we don't like people from Boston.
No, and they don't like us.
And they don't like us. It's mutual. It's mutual. That's just how it is. New Yorkers, Eli Manning did exactly what he needed to do.
Yeah. He asked to come here. People don't ask to come here. I remember that was one of the big things with Melo. Oh, he wants to be a Knick. And I was like, well, I guess that's important. I guess that's part of, you know, you want to be a Knick. You understand the pressure that comes to playing in this place. And you want it. And I was like, all right, well, that's good. He was like, no, don't draft me. I'm not going.
Since that moment, I think Giants fans were in love with him, and he had the last name Manning, so that was good enough for us, and then he did what we needed to do. But my moments of Eli Manning were, by the way, this is already after we've already won a Super Bowl, that game against San Francisco.
Oh, the championship game.
I've watched that game several times
since then.
I almost can't watch it because he just gets hit. And hit. And I'm just like, this guy is going to come out of here hurt. And he didn't. Not that game. And not at any point in his career. He's, I think, the only quarterback in, like, I don't know, ever that didn't miss a game due to injury.
Yeah. That
entire career.
Against.
Never missed a game due to injury.
Against San Francisco, that Mario Manningham touchdown, that's the only play that beats that defense. Like, up until the year before Flowers, when we had the 9th pick, I was always like, I think Eli can come over this. And then past that, it was like, I don't think he can. I don't think he's good enough. But every year up until that year, I never thought we were at a disadvantage at quarterback. Never.
I was always like,
we can win this game because we got Eli Manning.
But that was then. And now the future is in the hands of Joe Judge.
Joe Judge. Yep.
Are you nervous?
Am I nervous? Yeah, I am, of course. You know, they all do the coach talk, so I don't know what the hell I'm listening to. They all say the same words. They all have the same mannerisms. We're all going to be physical, dominant, smart team. Nobody goes out there and is like, oh, man, we're going to be idiots.
All right.
And we're, like, change. They're all saying the same thing.
Gonna change the culture. They're all going to change the culture in the locker room.
Yeah. It starts with me and winning, and it's like, I know. That's what the last guy said. That's what Ben McAdoo said. Yeah. Sure, Ben McAdoo thought he's going to change the culture of the ball club. And it's just, listen, I can blame McAdoo. I can blame Shermer. I can blame Reese. But from what I gather, it seems like it's ownership. It seems like John Mara might have a little too much influence on the team. It seems like the draft process is a tad bit skewed. And unless Mara, and I mean, Tish isn't really hands-on anyway, but if Mara continues to be, we don't want to draft certain players. I mean, you got to figure, we could have had Laramie Tunsil. We could have had Tunsil, and we could have had Leo Collins on an offensive line right now if it wasn't for Mara. Make a motion. I mean, even the Eli Manning thing was an emotional decision. Eli Manning should not have been on this team the last couple years. He should not have been on the team. Those were all emotional decisions that cost us wins, or at least the ability to
cost us progress.
Progress, yes. Maybe not wins, but definitely progress. Where yeah, we got Daniel Jones. That's great, but you know we passed up a lot of quarterbacks, right? Like we can make fun of Chicago, but we also passed up on those guys. But we could have got them. We could have had Mahomes. We could have had Watson. We could have had Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson. I don't know why this happened to me.
We could have had those guys. I don't think about it because that would be depressing because that was clearly a position of need at that point. But because they wanted to keep Eli Manning, which was the wrong thing to do, they said, we can let's draft the cornerback because that's the piece we're missing to the championship contender.
Joe Judge, though? I like the fact that he comes from the Belichick tree.
I don't know why.
Why not?
Why? Why do you like the Belichick? That's the least I think about.
Well, but to me, because it's better than the other option, the alternative. Like, I didn't want Mike. I know you may have wanted Mike McCarthy. I already know what Mike McCarthy is about, so I'd rather get somebody.
He wins. He won. He won. You could say he won with Rodgers, but he won with Rodgers.
He inherited
Rodgers. He made Rodgers.
I don't know. We'll see. If that's true, then he'll do it with Dallas. I don't know. I don't think he's going to do it with Dallas. I don't see it. I would rather someone that I kind of do not know at all at this point. And that's why I'm like, you know what? I'm good with Joe Judge. Sherman didn't work out. McAdoo didn't work out. And McAdoo's from the McCarthy tree. So you know what? I think I'd take this guy. That's true, too.
He did not want Eli. I don't even think Pat Shurmur wanted Eli.
I'm not sure if Pat Shurmur wanted Eli, but the problem with McAdoo, and then I'd say this all the time, like, okay, he didn't want Eli, so get rid of Eli and put in Webb. Like, you put in Geno Smith, and we know Geno Smith's not the guy. So to take Geno Smith...
Not only was he not the guy, but he also wasn't the future.
Exactly. So it was just like, what are we doing here? Like, now it just, that's why it was like, all right, that's why you get fired. Because had he started Webb, it's like, all right, fans might have been upset then about Eli Manning missing a start. But at least it's like, at least he's trying to figure out if we have a future. Like, all right, I don't know what Webb is. I know Eli's not the future. I know Geno's not the future. Let me see what this guy's about. I would have been okay with that. Whether he worked out or not, I would have been okay with that because it would at least been that. But McAdoo was just like, oh, I just don't want Eli, so I just don't want Eli. And that's not good either.
And truth be told, I mean, I get that there's only 32 of these jobs, but I think people should start coveting these jobs more because if Ben McAdoo went into the job interview and they were like, how do you feel about Eli? And he was like, I can't win with him. And they're like, well, he's your quarterback. And then McAdoo was like, all right, I'll take the job. That's on you, bro. That's on you. You got to be able to be like, no, I cannot win with this guy. I will rather stay tight ends coach at Green Bay and wait for my opportunity. Like, what was Freddie Kitchens thinking becoming the head coach of the Cleveland Browns?
I want to be a head coach.
Okay, but how did he, testicles that you think I can make this jump?
The only reason I'm okay with Jason Garrett being coach, and I'm hoping he focuses on the offense and our quarterback, not Joe Judge. Like, I don't need Joe Judge to focus on that. I need my offensive coordinator to focus on him. So that's why I like that style. But Freddie Kitchens, if your impact is on the quarterback, then you should be the quarterback coach or the offensive coordinator. You shouldn't be that coach.
Like, I'm nowhere near that job, and I can't imagine how much responsibility it takes to be the head coach of a football team. Like, they were talking about things, like, you have to be aware that people want raises. Like, you have to be aware of budgets that have nothing to do with football.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be able to manage not only 53 privileged players, because all of them at one point were told that they were the greatest thing ever, right? You got to deal with a bunch of privileged coaches, and then front office people, and then a fucking owner.
The media. Knows more than you. The media.
And we haven't even gotten to, like, knowing X's and O's.
Exactly.
This is all outside of technically your job, because technically your job is to deal with the media and deal with the players.
That's why Bill Belichick is so great, because he can do the X's and O's of every single position.
Probably. And then you realize, well, that's why he doesn't deal with the media, because he just doesn't want to. He just, oh God, again with this nonsense question. Like, I just don't want to deal with this. I have so much to deal with on my plate every day. Now you're asking me about Aaron Hernandez again.
Yeah, like,
again with this.
What? My quarterback deflated? What? Go ask the quarterback. I think that's what he said. I don't have time for these questions. We're on to Cincinnati. That isn't pretty insane, though. Have you seen the documentary? Like, they had a murderer in their locker room, though. Sorry, I don't want to get into that.
Of course. Come on. You watched all the documentary.
I just kind of wanted to segue a little bit into Aaron Hernandez. That's pretty nuts. Very enlightening. Sad story overall. But to think that guy played a season after potentially killing two people, it's kind of crazy.
With a big smile on his face.
Yeah.
Like, not even like, oh, shit, I shouldn't have done this.
Yeah, so then if you're Bill Belichick, what are you supposed to say to that one?
you're just there like, oh, wow.
Dude, he was smiling. I don't know what to tell you. He was smiling and catching footballs.
What was I supposed to think? He was a mass murderer? I just gave him a $40 million contract. Of course I didn't think that. For no reason. And what I found, did you see the documentary?
Yeah, I've seen it.
There was a part where, like, they're talking about where he did the drive-by and the two guys, and, like, we just couldn't fathom him killing somebody because of a spilled drink. And I'm like, did these people not grow up in the hood? Because I could definitely fathom people dying because they stepped on somebody's sneakers.
Yeah. I mean, I did think that, too, that some people were like, oh, man, it was over a spilled drink. I'm like, have people been to clubs?
Like, that's why people get
That's why the fight start. It's always over a spilled drink. When it's not.
It's rare. It's like, oh, man, that's my girl. Don't talk to my girl. Like, that's rare. It's usually like, yo, man, you bumped into me. What? But like, wow, you people really grew up differently than the rest of us, because that is why people got into fights at clubs. Like,
yeah, it's deep.
What do you mean you had no idea that happened? Like, you're a defense attorney. That can't be the first time you ever heard of somebody getting killed at a club because of something like that.
I think they just have to make more sense of it, because that just seems like it doesn't make sense.
Oh, it makes zero sense.
Ton. There was a fight this weekend at some club, probably in the city, because somebody spilled somebody's drink on somebody.
Well, 100%.
Like, that happened. No other reason besides that simple thing.
Besides the club.
Great checking in on you.
All right, buddy.
I
got to do this finally with you.
Yes. Of course, give the family hugs.
Will do. Tell everybody I said hi.
I will as well. So any last thoughts on Eli Manning as we say goodbye?
No, that's it. I said it all.
Cool, man. I got one more, Martin. That's just simply thank you. Thank you, Eli, and thank you, Kobe.
Yeah, rest in peace, Kobe, and everybody that died that day.
For most of my life, people have called me easy. Believe me, there is nothing easy about today. Wellington Mara always said, once a giant, always a giant. For me, it's only a giant.
From the bottom of my heart, God, I love you guys. And I love you guys. And to my family, my wife, Vanessa, our daughters, Natalia and Gianna, you know, thank you guys for all your sacrifice. You know, for all the hours I spent in the gym working and training. And Vanessa, you holding down the family the way that you have. I can't, there's no way that I can thank you enough for that. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you. And what can I say? Mamba out.
I had a dream. I got everything I wanted. Not what you think. And if I'm being honest, it might have been a nightmare. To stepped off the golden. Nobody cried. Nobody even noticed. I saw them standing right there. Kinda thought they might care. I had a dream. I got everything I wanted. But when I wake up, I see you with me. And you say, as long as I'm here, no one can hurt you. Don't wanna lie here, but you can learn to. If I could change the way that you see yourself, you wouldn't wonder why they don't deserve you. I tried to scream, but my head was underwater. They called me weak, like I'm not just somebody's daughter. It could have been a nightmare, but it felt like they were right there. And it feels like yesterday was a year ago. But I don't wanna let anybody know, 'cause everybody wants something from me now. And I don't wanna let them down. I had a dream. I got everything I wanted. But when I wake up, I see with me. And you say, as long as I'm here, no one can hurt you. Don't wanna lie here, but you can learn to. If I could change the way that you see yourself, you wouldn't wonder.
Give me a call. Let me know what's going on.